It's a real joy for us to be able to welcome to our service this morning Paul Smith. Oh, I'll get it right. I've done it again. Paul Martin. Smiths and Martins are very popular in this church. But Paul Martin and his dear wife Claire. So to have them here on a regular basis helping us has been a real privilege over the past couple of years. Paul is one of the leaders at Tunbridge Baptist Church and comes with great credentials to share the word of the Lord with us today. Let's pray for Paul before he shares. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity of having Paul amongst us again this morning. Thank you for his ability in the Spirit to open up your word. And we pray that each of us may hear your voice speaking to us, bringing encouragement, help, and comfort in these troubled days in which we live. Thank you, Lord, as he shares that God is our refuge, that we will be able to hide ourselves in you afresh today. Thank you, Lord. We are very grateful to you. Amen. Welcome, Paul.
Thank you very much, Clive, whatever your surname is. Paul Smith is someone I would aspire to, well, at least to wear his suits. Apparently he's a fashion designer.
And his suits cost about £600 a go, so there you go. Sorry to disappoint you. It's lovely to come and to share the service with you, and thank you for the invitation. The 15th of April, 1989, is a date that will forever be fixed in my memory. I was in Liverpool attending a conference of radio broadcasters of which I was a part. And on the Saturday afternoon, I'd walked around the city and were getting ready for the evening dinner. And the convention was that as we had these conferences, we went to different towns and cities around the UK each year. And on the Saturday evening, we would put on a civic banquet and invite all the great and good of the city to come. The Lord Mayor, the MP, the councillors, the police chief, all the rest of it, to be our guest for the evening. And Liverpool was to be no exception. They had all been invited and they'd all agreed to come. And I was getting ready to attend, putting on my fake Paul Smith suit, when there was a knock at my hotel door. And I opened it and the chairman of the organisation stood there and he said, "Paul, have you heard the news?" And I said, "No, I haven't heard the news." And he shared that afternoon at the FA Cup semi-final at Hillsborough between Liverpool and another team, some 90-odd people had lost their lives in a tragic accident. He said, "Paul, the evening dinner is still going ahead. The Lord Mayor and all the bigwigs are still coming. Many of them were at the game, but they've called to say that they will come." He said, "Because you do God, we want you to say something." "Thank you," I said. As I closed the door, I thought, what do I say? And as I prayed, a quick sort of arrow prayer, into my mind immediately came Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That evening, amongst 250 guests in the big banquet hall, right at the beginning, I was given the microphone with the introduction that Paul Smith, Martin, whatever my name is, would say something. And I just very carefully read Psalm 46, line by line. And as at each point, at the end of each verse, I paused, I could hear crying, weeping. And it broke out across the entire room. By the time I finished, there wasn't a dry eye in the place. The presence of the Word of God at a crisis situation in people's lives had caused them to wonder what life's about. And can God have any kind of help or input into a crisis situation? And this Psalm 46 has been a comfort to people ever since it's written. When it was written, the situation was that the God's people were about to be attacked by a Syrian army. A far bigger army was going to come in and invade. And they knew that they would not be able to defend themselves. And Hezekiah, who was the king at the time, who was a good king, he refused to be intimidated by Sennacherib, who was the leader of Assyria. He refused to bow down and to accommodate Sennacherib. And he said, no, we will trust in God. And people teased him and said, really? Your army isn't big enough. Your gods won't help you. He said, our God will help us. And he cried out to God, and God delivered them. You can read the story in 2 Kings 18. It's a fantastic story. And that's the backdrop to how Psalm 46 was written. It was written at that time. The people could say, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble, because they proved it in that situation. And ever since, this psalm has been a great encouragement to people. To a former monk in Germany, Martin Luther, it was the basis of him writing the wonderful hymn that he wrote about God's protection. A mighty fortress is our God, wrote Martin Luther. And in crisis situations ever since, people have turned to this psalm to draw strength. And I'm conscious that we've just come out of 2 years of unparalleled challenge, haven't we? 2 years ago this week, the Prime Minister announced that we would be locked down. We couldn't go to our places of work or activity. We couldn't meet with friends and relations. We were to stay in our homes. We could go out for 1 hour a day for exercise and go to the shops to get essential supplies. And that was it. Unprecedented. None of us saw it coming at the beginning of 2020. We heard about a virus over there in China, but that's 8 time zones away. And then suddenly, our lives are turned upside down. And in more recent days, with the crisis in Ukraine, where the biggest country in Europe has been invaded by its neighbour, and we've watched on our TV screens, we have seen what's going on in that country, the inhumanity, the sheer horror of what's going on. And we've felt vulnerable, haven't we, if we're honest? You can watch the 10 o'clock news in the evening and feel quite depressed, because the way sometimes the media turn the story and they accentuate it, and you sit there thinking, maybe it's going to come to Staplehurst in a few weeks. And we get frightened and we get concerned. And what do? The Bible tells us that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Here in 2022, as much as when it was written. And there are 3 points in this psalm. I just want to leave them with you. The first one is in verse 1. It's a promise. God is our refuge and strength. Notice the important word in that sentence, the word is. It's definite. The psalmist doesn't say, on a good day, God could be if you could get his attention. He doesn't say, providing the challenge is not too big, then God will help you. He says, God is certain. God is our refuge and strength. It's a promise, really. The New American Standard Version puts it very succinctly. It says this, God is abundantly available for help in tight places. I like that. God is abundantly available for help in tight places. Imagine for a moment the worst scenario, the worst situation. God can be present in that. God is our refuge and strength. Imagine the worst challenge that may come to you in your own lives. It may be of a medical nature, it may be a family situation, a business situation, whatever the challenge. And when it happens, you think, my goodness, I feel very vulnerable. Into that situation is this wonderful promise. God is our refuge and strength. The psalmist goes on to talk about the mountain shaking and the waters churning, figuratively reminding us that the society in which we live is churning. Nations are churning. Political situations are churning. Social groups are churning. Everything seems to be going round and churning against each other. Some of the foundations that we've taken for granted over the years have been shaken in recent years. Into that is this wonderful promise. God is our refuge and strength. God knows what he's doing. God is with us. God is not frustrated or defeated or concerned about what goes on. God knows about it. He is our refuge and strength. That's the first P. Here's the second one. The proof in verse 4. God is within, says the psalmist. And here he was talking about Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the capital that was under attack at the time. And the psalmist says, God is there. God is in the midst. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. That's Jerusalem. The holy place where the Most High dwells. And the psalmist is saying, look, God is there in the midst. He's right there in Jerusalem. He knows what's going on. He's among you. This is the wonderful truth of the Christian message, that we worship a God who's not abstract, not a God who's in heaven, who stays there and just barks commands down to us. We have a God who comes down into the situation to be with us. The whole story of Christmas is that God became man to live amongst us, to show us what God is like, to come down and to live life. For 33 years, he lived life. He experienced the emotions, the challenges, the ups, the downs, the disappointments that we experience. God has come down to be with us. And our God does that in whatever challenge you may be facing today. God comes down and sits with you in that challenge. It's a wonderful truth. It's a wonderful principle the psalmist reminds us of. God is enthroned, he uses the phrase. When Her Majesty the Queen, wherever she travels, there is a little flag that flies, whether it's in Buckingham Palace, whether it's in Windsor, whether it's in Balmoral, whether it's in Sandringham, whether it's on her car, whether it's on the royal train. The flag, the royal standard, flies. And it signifies that the Queen is enthroned. That's the center of power. Wherever she goes, that shows that she is enthroned, in control, and she's reigning. Our God, today, March 2022, is enthroned. He's in charge. He knows what he's doing. However desperate the situation is in the world, and in Ukraine in principle, God is enthroned. God is there. God is active. I've been blown away over the last 4 or 5 weeks of the stories that have come out of Ukraine by trusted people that I know or connected with, how God has been working in the situation. 10 days ago, I think on our news, we heard of a maternity unit just outside Kyiv that was bombed quite heavily. And they lost a lot of equipment and a lot of medical supplies and essential things. And the team got together and they made a list. They said, well, if we're to continue to provide for the mothers and babies here, we're going to need this list. And it was a great big list. And the chief executive, I suppose he was, took that list and he went and stood on the front steps of the hospital. And he cried out to God. And a van pulled up. I've got 6 members of YWAM, Youth with a Mission, based in Romania. They'd packed a van a few days ago in obedience to God to go into Ukraine, and God would show them where to go. And they turned up at this hospital at that moment. And on the van, they had every item that was on that list. God is our refuge and strength. God is within. God is with us in our situation. And the third point, the third P, is this. Verse 10 says the psalmist, be still and know the peace of God into the situation. Be still and know. Isn't it hard when we're facing challenges of whatever kind, when we're churned up within, when we can't see the way forward, the last thing we want to do is to be peaceful and to sit down and to be still. But the psalmist says that is the secret. To be still and to know that God is God. And it's only when we're still and when we can be quiet that we can be assured that This is true. We try and figure things out. We try and work out how we will get over the particular challenge, how we will try and cope with it, how we will try and maneuver ourselves to make sure we're not defeated by it. God says, be still and know that I am God. I'm God in that situation. And it's only when we're still, only when we're quiet, only when we pause that we will know. That's why Jesus, in his ministry, said to his disciples at a particular active time in their lives, he said, I want you to come apart, come aside, and to rest. It's why Jesus, you find in the gospel several times at night when the disciples were sleeping, took himself off to a lonely place to commune with his Father. He needed to be still in the midst of the maelstrom that was going round him. In 1870, a gentleman by the name of Horatio Spafford lived in Chicago. He was a businessman, he had a big business, he was very wealthy and successful. And he decided that he would give part of his time, resources, to help ministry over here in the UK that D.L. Moody was conducting at the time. And he sent his wife and his four daughters in the ship to go over to the UK, fully funded, to support Moody, and that he would follow in a few days' time when he just finished up a business transaction. His wife and his four daughters boarded the boat in New York and they sailed for the UK. One and a half days out of New York, the boat hit an iceberg and was capsized. Four daughters were lost. His wife survived, made it to the UK, one of the few that survived the boat. Sent a telegram back to him and said about the disaster, we've lost our four daughters, but I am safe. And he telegrammed back, he said, I will come now. And as he left his factory in Chicago, it caught light and the factory burnt down and he lost his business, but he carried on. He went to New York, he got on a subsequent boat, and as that boat sailed by the place where his wife's boat had capsized, he's lost his four daughters. In the midst of the maelstrom and the churning that must have been going on, Spafford took out a pen and paper and he wrote these words: when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever the thought you have told me to say, it is well with my soul. He managed in the midst of that to be still and to know that God was God. And the psalmist finishes up Psalm 46. He says, not only be still and know that I am God, I will be exalted among the nations, I will be exalted in the earth. And then he finishes up. He says, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, our strong place. And friends, in 2022, as we come out hopefully of a pandemic and adjust to a new normal, as we face the uncertainties of what's going on in Ukraine and where that may lead in the future, and whatever challenges we may have on a national, international, or an individual level, please bear this in mind. The Lord Almighty is with you. He's with me. He is with us. The God of Jacob, the God who was so good to that crooked, deceiving man called Jacob in the Bible, that God is your God, and he will be with you. He is your refuge. He is with you in your situation, and he wants you to be still and to know that he is God. Amen.